Almighty God, indeed, blessed be your name. Father, that we heard of those terrible things that happened to Job. None of us may have suffered a day just like that, but we have all been in that place. That place of pain. Where we've lost something dear to us. Someone dear to us. Some position dear to us. Some place dear to us. And in the midst of all that, when we are in the middle of all that, you are still the Almighty God, unchanging. Your goodness not changing. Even when our circumstances are bad, you are still the Almighty, good and loving God. Some of us, even today, Lord, are in that place where we are hurting because of a loss. We have pain for some reason in our lives, and yet still, you have come to meet us, the Almighty, all-loving God. May it be for us as the words that we were just singing, may they be true. May we choose to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. May we choose to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. May we recognize your goodness, regardless of the circumstances that surround us. May we look up out of the pit and see your hand reaching down to lift us up. May we know with all our hearts and all our minds, may we know that the only way out of, the only way through, is by holding on to you. Father, may this be true for us in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. This was a bad day for Job. He lost livestock in various types and degrees and got the reports from his servants, and each one would have been terrible, maybe worse than the one before, but then suddenly paled in comparison because shortly thereafter he found out that he had lost his children. Can't imagine. Can't imagine. And yet Job says, I came with nothing. I will depart with nothing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And how do we get to that point? Or as Paul said, to be thankful in all circumstances, to give thanks in all circumstances. How do we get to that place? Because I don't think we start off there. I don't think we're just naturally capable of being able to give thanks in all circumstances. To read out of the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, the first letter. And if you were to break this letter down into sections, this section would really probably start in chapter 4, where Paul begins to tell people how to live, how we should be living, how we should urge each other in the Lord, how we should take care of our bodies and live holy lives in the flesh as well as in the spirit. To lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and do work with your hands. To not be ignorant about the day that Christ will return, for he is indeed returning. That we don't know when that day is, but we should not be surprised when it happens. We should be expecting the return of our Lord and Savior. And picking up in verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. And then he closes this with his benediction. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen indeed. This scripture and these few verses on how we should act, things we should and should not do, can lead us to the place where we can be like Paul, where we can be like Job, where we can indeed give thanks, be thankful in all circumstances. It, again, doesn't come naturally, but it comes through a drawing near to God. It comes through prayer, partially. We talked about that last week, the importance of being people of prayer. It says here, prayer continually, or pray continually. You know, some that we may be more familiar with is pray without ceasing. We'll get back to that in just a moment. But I want to go to the verse 19. Do not put out the Spirit's fire, or do not quench the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good and avoid every kind of evil. And we know that the work of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, is given to the body of the church and not the maybe contemporary popular definition of a prophet, someone who can see the future, but the scriptural view of someone who can hear from God and to pass that word of God along, like the Old Testament prophets. And we know that Peter read out that God was going to bring prophecies. He quoted Joel, that God was going to bring, that the people would prophesy. And we are to test what we hear people prophesying and hold on to the good, test it. For no one can be a prophet, no one is truly speaking from God if they contradict anything that we know of the Lord. And so when we hear people speaking and they say they're speaking for God, we need to check that against. Just because someone has church in the name of their organization, just because someone's holding a Bible when they stand up in front of you, doesn't mean that you are relieved from the responsibility of testing what they said against the Word of God. And then hold on to the good teaching and get rid of the bad. And not to quench the Spirit's fire. At Pentecost, we know that as tongues of fire, the Spirit came upon the church. But the amazing thing was not the visual thing that they saw. Sure, that was probably shocking in the moment. That was probably amazing in the moment. But across history, the amazing thing is what happened to that group of people who not long before had cowered away, had run away as Christ was being led to his death. And now here they stood, like Peter stood in front of that group. The group who had put Jesus to death and proclaimed the living, risen Christ. That's the true fire of the Holy Spirit that enables us to do God's work. And that fire is available to us to do the work of God. And so we must be careful in the church not to let anything come between us and doing the work of God. For God called the church together to do his work, to spread the gospel. And so we must be vigilant that whether it's someone else or whether it's ourselves, whether it's something big or something small, whether it's something petty, whether it's an opinion, whether it's a perspective, that we need to align ourselves up with the Word of God and allow the Spirit to continue to do his work in his church. For this is the will of God for us. But back to this idea of being thankful in all circumstances. So this is what Paul tells us to do. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. These are decisions that we make. To be joyful, to be thankful, and to pray continually. And those all work together. And I believe we lead with prayer. We lead with that connection with our God who is capable of all things and can enable us to do the things that He is calling us to do, including being thankful in the midst of the most terrible of circumstances. But it comes with a preparation. Job did not walk into that scenario. He did not wake up that day and have his very first connection with God. Job was a righteous and upright man who walked before the Lord all the days of his life. And while he never thought he was preparing himself for a day like that one, he was indeed prepared. And as I've said before, when Paul says to pray without ceasing, he does not mean, and I said this last week, he does not mean that we are to spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on our knees, with our eyes closed and our hands folded. But we are to always be in an attitude of prayer. We are to always be aware that the very Creator of the universe has His ear inclined to what we have to say. At any given moment, when we speak, God listens. Any time of the day, no matter where we are, in church or at home or at work or at school, no matter where we are, anytime we speak, God listens to us. So He is always available without ceasing. God listens without ceasing. And so we are ready to pray without ceasing. And so part of that without ceasing or that continuity or praying continually is the ever awareness of the presence of God in your life. We can't say this too many times. It is so easy to forget. I remember a friend of mine named Pat Frederick who talked about praying that God would get her to work safely. She had a 15-mile drive to work, and the roads were icy, and it was windy and snowing, and she got to work and marveled at her driving skills. Right? Don't we all do that? I mean, we cry out to God in desperation or something, but how often do we go back and thank Him for the very breath that we have in our lungs? Thank you for every person that's in our life. For nothing happens that's good to us. Nothing happens that's good to us that is not of God. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And so we need to ever be aware of the presence of God in our lives. At every moment. In every circumstance. And we're ever aware of the presence of God in our life. We can be joyful for that fact. So the circumstance around us, and I like that word circumstance because CIRC, the beginning of that, is like a circle. It's something that's around you. When you're in a circumstance, it's not just something that's in front of you. It's something that's around you. It's something you're in the middle of. And whatever you're in the middle of, God's still bigger than that. Whatever's going on in your life, God is still bigger than that. And so we have that eternal sense of joy, right, that as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, as those who have accepted Him and His gift of salvation, that we have an eternity to spend with God. And so there's joy in that. But there's also some joy in knowing that God can and will be holding you in the midst of the thing you're in the moment, there can be joy. You see, sometimes we believe that, you know, happiness and joy are at one end of the spectrum and you know, sadness is at the other end. But it's not really the case. Happiness and sadness may be at opposite ends. How we feel about what's going on. If we lose something, we lose someone, we feel sad about what's going on. But that doesn't mean we don't have the joy of the Lord in our lives. See, joy has to do with eternity. Happiness has to do with the moment, but joy has to do with eternity. Joy is a state of being, not affected by the circumstance. Now, that's easy to say. But to get there, again, requires that spending time with the Almighty. Learning who He is. Learning what He offers to us. And how much He truly loves us. You know, this is a great and wondrous book. It It's a great and wondrous book. There are great stories in this book. But we must delve into it and live in the Word of God. And have it live inside of us, understanding it's something beyond ink and paper. It is the very breath of God, the very inspiration of God, given to us, given to us as a marvelous testimony of God's love for us. And we should not take it lightly, our access to the Word of God, and we should be in it often, regularly, constantly, because that is one of the pathways to strengthening the bond between us and God. And when that bond becomes stronger and stronger, then we sense that joy more and more that extends beyond the circumstance that we're living in. So be joyful. It doesn't say feel joyful. It says be joyful. And again, that doesn't come from I think that thought for the first time in a moment when something is going wrong. Oh, I need to be joyful. That probably won't work well. But if we spend time in prayer with God, spend time in His Word, spend time at the foot of the cross, recognizing who God is in our lives, when everything is going well, then when we walk through the valley, we know who's leading us. And we can give thanks in every circumstance. Again, we have to read these words carefully. We don't give thanks for every circumstance. We give thanks in every circumstance. And there's a great difference. You know, the part of what it said in Job, and we sang it when we did, blessed be your name, that the Lord gives and takes away. And I'm always concerned that we will misread what those words are saying. That God somehow arbitrarily, depending on His mood, take things away from us and we suffer and somehow we've got to find out a way to be thankful in that. That's not what those words mean. Anything that's good that's ripped out of our lives has to do with the evil in this world. Has to do with the sin that's in this world. Anything that God takes away is something we shouldn't have. God never does anything that's not for your absolute best. He never does anything that is not for your absolute best. So when God takes away, He takes away something you shouldn't have. And He replaces it with something better. Now, He may take you out of this life. But where are we going, church? Where are we going? We have a fleshly fear of death, but as believers, in Jesus Christ, we believe in an eternity that's beyond this, better than this, perfection, perfect and healthy bodies, increased knowledge, a place where Christ Himself is the light that we will walk in. God takes away our life. Look what we get. But we can lose our perspective on God if we think about Him as being an arbitrary, sometimes cruel being, because that is not in the nature of God. Everything that happened after the fall, Randy and I were having this conversation yesterday, everything that happened after the fall fell apart. The way things were intended to be fell apart. And sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. In the moment. But God's eternal purposes always will prevail. And so being able to be thankful, to give thanks, and be joyful in a circumstance comes from a strengthening of our relationship with God. Spending that time in prayer. Those phrases weren't put together arbitrarily either. Pray without ceasing. Be thankful in all circumstances. Always be joyful. Those are put together because they go together. God wants us to be thankful in all circumstances. God wants us to always be joyful. God wants us to always be talking to Him, always aware that He's there. And He doesn't want us to do any of those things out of our own strength. Because we couldn't. He wants those things because he knows to get those things, we have developed a relationship with him, an increasingly strong relationship with him. God created us to be in relationship with him. God loves you. Do we know that? God loves us. So in the middle of the worst circumstance, whatever's going on around you, whether it changes in a moment or whether it lasts for a long time, no matter how bad it might be, the very best thing still exists. God still loves you. God still has a home prepared for you. And God will either take that circumstance away or he will strengthen you to get you through it. There's a song, I don't remember the name, but it talks about being in a storm and the wind and waves grow wild. It says, sometimes he calms the storm, sometimes he calms his child. But either way, when we walk through the valley, God is with us. Leading the way, if we go back to that song, leading the way for us, protecting us as we go through. We can't control our circumstances, but we can control who we go to in the midst of those circumstances. A God that's always faithful, always true, always present, always loving, always wanting the absolute best for each and every one. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, this is a hard thing to know. An easy thing to say, a hard thing to learn. But we know it's true because your word says it, and everything your word says is true. So Father God, for each one of us, I ask that we would increase the amount of time we spend with you. Starting today, continuing tomorrow and each and every day. That we would change our schedule, that we would change our routine, that we would turn a TV off or a computer off or get up 15 minutes earlier, whatever it is, that we would make that change for the most important thing. Lord, we find ways to make time for so many things that are inconsequential in an eternal sense. I ask that we would feel a tug at our hearts, a yearning, a desire that we would not be able to get away from except when we come on our knees before you. In Jesus' name. Amen.